The Grind.
It's The Grind
with Nathan McCray.
There's just no way you can get enough of me. Yo, Mr.
Giving real insight needed daily. Call 657-383-1291. That's 657-383-1291. It's blogtalkradio.com, The Grind 101. Join your host, Nathan McCray, 8 a.m. Eastern, every Tuesday through Thursday, for an unscripted conversation. It's The Grind, 657-383-1291.
You give me everything I need.
Oh,
yeah.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Rise and Grind right here live, the unscripted, realest show ever. Go ahead, guys, go ahead right now. Jump off of your computer. Jump on that old smartphone that you got. Dial in 657-383-1291. We're going to give you guys the opportunity to chime in and actually say, you know, where you're calling in from, say your name, you know, and all that good stuff, you know, open up those lines. But, you know, guys, great morning. You know, that's the first thing we do. We say, Lord, you know, I believe, you know, and you said that if I keep my mind stayed on you, then you promised me some things, you know. And he said, you know what, you got to move, you got to do some things on your own, you know, in order to get to that promise. So, you know, slow feet don't eat. So then we ask that, we say, Lord, you know, just I believe, give me this, give me that. And then we, you know, we say that we want to be a millionaire. We want to say we want to be a billionaire. We say we want all of this and all of that. So, you know what, dial in this morning. Dial in 657-383-1291. Call up somebody, tell them the grind is on. Get on, let your voice be heard this morning. And guys, this is what we tell ourselves, you know, when we wake up in the morning, every day.
I wanna be a billionaire so freaking bad. Buy all of the things I never had. I wanna be on the cover of Forbes magazine, smiling next to Oprah and the Queen. Oh, every time I close my eyes, I see my name in shiny lights. Yeah, a different city every night. Oh, I swear, the world better prepare for when I'm a billionaire.
Yeah, I would have a show like Oprah. I would be the host of Everyday Christmas. Give Trappy a wish list. I'd probably pull an Angelina and Brad Pitt and adopt a bunch of babies that ain't never had. Give away a few Mercedes like, here, lady, have this. And last but not least, grant the body they last wish. It's been a couple months that I've been in gold, so you can call me Travis Claus, minus a ho-ho. Get it? I'd probably visit with Katrina here. And sure do a lot more than FEMA did. Yeah, can't forget about me, stupid. Everywhere I go, I might have my own theme music.
Oh, every time I close my eyes,
president, dunking on his delegates, then I compliment him on his political etiquette. Toss a couple million in the air just for the heck of it, but keep the 520 tins and bins completely separate. Yeah, I'd be in a whole new tax bracket. We in recession, but let me take a crack at it. I'd probably take whatever's left and just split it up, so everybody that I love can have a couple bucks. And not a single tummy around me would know what hungry was, eating good, sleeping soundly. I know we all have a similar dream. Go in your pocket, pull out your wallet, put it in the air and sing.
I wanna be a billionaire so freaking bad. Buy all of the things I never had. I wanna be on the cover of Forbes magazine, smiling next to Oprah and the Queen.
What up, Oprah?
Him back.
Wow. What do you got the camera? You got the camera on? Oh, okay. I tell you, my wife always doing something, man. Always doing something. Keep me on my toes, I tell you what. Hey, welcome, welcome, welcome to The Grind. We are live once again. I got my favorite person on the show this morning with me, my awesome, my amazing wife, my co-host, Ms. Pam McCray. Say hello, Ms. McCray.
Great morning, everybody out there. I hope that all of you are waking up fired up and excited. I am definitely excited this morning, excited to be on The Grind, and just excited about life. So hello to all of you that are chiming in this morning.
All right. You heard it from the queen herself, millionaire mompreneur, on The Grind this morning. Look, you better mute your phone because I'm unmuting these lines right now. If you're talking to granddaddy in the background or somebody else, I already hear some people getting out the shower and everything. Look, if you don't want to be heard this morning, you better mute your phone. But go ahead, everybody. We're going to unmute these lines right now, and you can shout out who you are, shout out your city, where you're calling in from, and everything this morning. So go ahead, guys. The line's open. Let us hear from you.
Jillian from Orlando.
Welcome, welcome, John. John.
Good
Joanne.
Morning,
welcome.
Joanne.
Welcome, welcome.
Good
welcome.
Morning from Miramar, Florida.
I heard Miramar. Morning.
Sunrise,
I heard Keyshawn. Welcome to The Grind. You guys are live on The Grind.
Sheila, Columbus, Ohio.
Welcome, Sheila. Always in the OH. Welcome.
Tishana, Kingston, Jamaica.
Welcome to Shwan, all the way from Kingston, Jamaica. The Grind has made it international. Welcome to the call. Who else do we have? All right, everybody. Well, look, welcome to The Grind. It's going to be a good show this morning. I hope all of you guys have actually got some pen and paper. You know, I want you guys to take a couple of notes. This ain't class, but, you know, we call this the realest show ever. But because it's the realest show ever, you know, sometimes people get a little upset, you know. People get a little upset because you say something that steps on their toes. You know, or you say something that they didn't really want to hear, or better yet, you say something that they weren't really ready to hear yet, you know. So I get it. But you know what? You can't always take everything into consideration. You know, sometimes you just got to say some things, you know, and let somebody be mad for a little while, you know, until they catch up, you know, until they understand that, you know what, that was said for me. And it was for my own good, you know. So now I get it. Sometimes it's like kids when the kids were young, that you tell them stuff and they call you the meanest people ever. They said, and they even you really hadn't been a parent yet. You really hadn't been a parent yet until you say something to your child that you know is the best thing for them, and then they go to their room and they say. They're crying. They just in tears, and they say those three words: "I hate her," or "I hate him." Oh yeah, I've done that before. I'll tell you right now, I've hated my parents before. Real talk. Then when I got to the make sure I am unmuted here. All right, so good. So you guys can still hear me. So, you know, when I understood that it was the best thing for me, you know, I was actually cool with it. But I didn't realize that until I got a little older, you know. So, you know, things kind of panned out, and I understood that my parents weren't trying to harm my future. They were trying to protect my future, but they were willing to hurt my feelings, you know, to do that. But, you know, some people don't take too kindly to their feelings being hurt, and that's okay, because this is all a growing phase of what we do, right? So guys, let's jump right into this. You know, I played those two songs because, you know, we heard Donnie McClurkin say, "That's what I believe," you know, and we heard You know, Bruno Mars said he wants to be a billionaire, you know, so bad. And, you know, those are a couple of the things that we wake up and we ask for, you know, every day. We ask for a better relationship, you know, with God, and we ask for, you know, some wealth in our lives. Whether you say millionaire or billionaire, you know, it doesn't really matter. You know, we're asking for some wealth. And the third thing that we ask for is health. So it's religion, it's wealth, and it's health. Those three things. So, but here's what you know, I've found that happens in most cases. I can still hear you if you sit right. If you sit right there, you're good. All right. So, and I'm so glad this is a live show. You guys get to be right here, you know, with us. And you know, nobody's perfect. You know, everybody makes mistakes. And the part that I love so dearly is, you know, that, you know, we get to be transparent on this show. We get to be the people that we really, really are, you know, because really and truly, that's all we know how to be, is the people that we are. You know, when you feel that you can't be yourself around somebody, then, you know, sometimes you get silent, you know. But, you know, thank God we have the ability to be who we are, you know, 100% of the time. So, you know, we want to talk about, you know, a very, you know, controversial subject today, behind enemy lines, you know, and we know that when we know that we're in a bad place, and, you know, our natural instinct is to get to a good place, right, Pam? To a good place. Why do some people actually stay stuck where they are and complain or become, you know, an advocate for the very thing that's holding them back? You know, why is that? You know, so, and I'm hearing an echo. So why is that? You know, circumstances and consequences can get the best of us sometimes. We understand that, but there's always a way out, right? There's always a way out. So how do we get out? How do we get from behind, you know, the enemy lines? And when we actually recognize that we're there, you know, I was watching a movie, Pam. I know you're not, a big movie person.
Right, not at all.
You know, but
matter of fact, I've never seen the movie.
Pam doesn't watch movies, you know, like I do. We all you know, function in life in different ways. But one of the things that I like is a good action movie or a good suspense thriller, because, you know, I exercise my mind by trying to figure out, you know, seeing if I can figure out the actual the end of the movie. Can I figure out the end of the movie before the movie ends? You know, so Pam is one of those people. Pam will ask what happened in the movie, or she'll ask what's going to happen next, and I have to look at her and I have to say, you know, this is my first time seeing this, you know, just like you. So I don't know what's going to happen, but, you know, I just really want to figure it out before it happens, because I believe that's the epitome in life, is to try to figure things out long before they happen, which is when they affect you the most. So we're talking about really running ahead of the curve or straightening that curve. But, you know, I heard this, or I saw this movie, and there is an actual movie, Pam, called Behind Enemy Lines. You never saw, you remember that movie, huh?
No, I've heard of it, yes, but I've never seen it.
All right, so Owen Wilson is in that movie. Some of you may have heard it. He's in that movie, and Behind Enemy Lines is that movie where his plane actually, he got shot down actually over Bosnia. So his plane crashed in Bosnia. So he got trapped behind enemy lines. And the only way that he could really get out was to navigate his way to that pickup point, or his extraction point. And really they wanted to leave him over there, because they really weren't supposed to be over there, you know, and they thought that it was just, you know, they didn't want to be in Russian airspace when they, you know, and that's how it is, though. You know that we're U.S., we're bad for being places that people, that we have no business being, but we're there anyway. So,
right.
You know, you get yourself caught behind those enemy lines, and, you know, and the only thing that really stands out when you're caught behind enemy lines is, you know, there's not a whole bunch of talking, just a whole bunch of action, right? A whole bunch of action, you know, and I know that when you're behind enemy lines and you know you're behind enemy lines, you can't rest.
You can't.
It's uncomfortable, right? I know that if I got thrown into, you know, somewhere into a war zone, you know, as I've been before, you know, that whole time frame that I was there, almost that year was probably the least amount of sleep that I've ever had. And when you're uncomfortable, it's kind of hard to rest and get really good sleep until you get out of that bad place, which is, you know, that's what we call, you know, the grind zone. That's what we call the trenches, you know, behind enemy lines, right? So when we're behind enemy lines, we don't do a whole bunch of talking, just a whole bunch of action. So there's another movie that I saw just the other day. It's an old movie, and it's called The Invasion. Now, these two movies go hand in hand because, you know, this is relevant to where we are in our lives sometimes, because I know that, you know, the movie The Invasion was, I forget who the lady was in the movie. It's a couple. I know Daniel Craig was in the movie. It's one of the first movies that he did. Well, that's the Mr. 007 for y'all that don't know, one of the 007s, but James Bond. But he was in The Invasion, and the enemy, the aliens, Pam, actually came to Earth, but they didn't want people to know they were on Earth.
Okay.
So that, I know we were watching that the other night. You walked in The Invasion where the people were. Yeah,
I did catch a glimpse.
Yeah. So people, they didn't want people to know that they were actually there trying to take over everybody's body, and so until they had gotten, you know, everybody pretty much assimilated, right? So you got two different movies: Behind Enemy Lines. You know, they knew that he was there. They knew the plane crash, and they were trying to get him. All they knew is that, hey, we got to kill this dude, you know? We got to kill this dude. And for some reason, they figured out, you know, how to get to where he was, and he was on the run. So a lot of action took place, so it was out front, bold action, all right? So stick with me. The invasion was that calculated sneak attack, all right? It was that attack that, you know, you don't know until it's too late. You don't know that things are going bad for you and you're being assimilated until it's too late. By that time, I got you, and I got, you know, about 98% of the rest of the world, or 97% of the rest of everybody. We just got to conquer that 3%, you know, so we can handle that. We got the majority now. So, but here's what happened, okay? Behind enemy lines, Owen Wilson wasn't able to act like a Russian. He couldn't speak Russian. So he was clearly American. So he had to hide. He had to duck and dodge, right? He had to duck and dodge and stay out of plain sight because he even looked like an American. But the invasion, everybody looked exactly like who they were,
mm-hmm.
right? The only way to really fool the other aliens that had been assimilated, but had been taken over, was to act
like them.
Like them.
Hmm.
You gotta act like one of them, and it got good. It got funny because, you know, the lady was looking for her son, and she jumped on the subway. And when you don't know, this is good. When you don't know who's the enemy and who's not, you kind of freeze.
Hmm.
And she sat there and she looked around and she's like, okay, I don't know what's going on. I don't know these people on this subway are, you know, if they're one of them. And all of the people on the subway were faking. And she was sweating and he was like, if you act like one of them, they won't know that you're not one of them. So she caught on real quick. She took the expression off her face, because one of the things that in this movie that you did, one of the things that happened to you once you became assimilated or became an alien, who you were ceased to exist, and you became very cold and emotionless. So she figured out real quick that I need to act like one of them. So, and one of the guys said, you know, he walked up to her and said, "You're sweating." They don't do that. They don't sweat. So she had to figure out how to, you know, become one of them without them really knowing it. And I wanted to bring out those two movies because, you know, I believe it's relevant to what happens in life, Pam. When you're in life and you've been assimilated by, you know, life, you're really caught behind enemy lines, you know, because you're somewhere you don't want to be, and typically we know that's an undesirable, you know, place, but you have to become one of them until you can plot your escape, you know. So I know, Pam, that for a long time, you know, we were caught behind enemy lines.
Right.
And we had to figure out how to get from behind enemy lines, and there's no easy way to really figure out how to get from behind enemy lines, right? So one of the things that I know that had to happen is, first of all, we had to make the determination to know that we were behind enemy lines. But what about the people that don't know that they're behind enemy lines? You know, so we always talk about the 97% and the 3%. And this is really attached or tethered, guys, to your dreams. You know, what are your dreams, Pam? When you were actually out there, you know, you become what they call psychologically unemployable. You know, I want you to talk to people, to everybody on the grind this morning, about what your actual dreams were, and how, you know, your process of actually getting from behind enemy lines, realizing that, you know what, I have a dream, and I realize what that dream is, and how that process really, you know, really started, you know, and just be transparent, you know.
Well, you know, I would have to say, you know, at the point of becoming psychologically unemployable, I can remember it like it was yesterday, and it's because I got a taste of freedom, and it wasn't really by choice, but I can remember, you know, being pregnant with Christian and working that corporate America job in which I was in the accounting field, and I remember it like yesterday, like right after I gave birth to him, and you were traveling, right? You were
mm-hmm.
traveling, you were gone, that 1 year travel position turned into 6 years.
Wow.
And, but I remember you traveling, and they called, when I called back to check on the insurance, they pretty much told me that, you know what, we love you and all, but unfortunately we have to give up your position and we would love to rehire you when you're done with your maternity leave. So basically they left us out there with no insurance. And so I remember at that time, you know, going for my real estate license, and I decided to get my real estate license. I went on to get my real estate broker's license, and I started selling houses in Charlotte, North Carolina. And after that, having that taste of freedom, I remember once Christian got old enough, I tried to go back to a job, right?
Right.
Tried to go back to corporate America, and I just couldn't do it. I remember sitting behind my desk saying, "Why am I here?" And as I sat behind that desk, literally, and we were in the midst of direct sales and network marketing, just were not winning, not having any success. And I remember taking my business to work with me because I was in a position in which I had a lot of time during the day, just really plotting, planning, figuring out what kind of event I could go to, how can I get this thing done in order to get free. And so when I got myself to that point, it was really, for me, all about time freedom. That was the one thing that I wanted all day long. And I began to visualize myself just being free, being able to do the things that I wanted to do. It wasn't so much about the money, because I didn't correlate the two, because in order to truly have time freedom, you got to have the money at the end of the day. Otherwise, you're not truly free. You can't have that time freedom. So, but I wasn't, it wasn't about the money. I was never focused on the money. I just wanted to be that person that could do what I wanted to do, to be able to be there for my children, to not have to tell them, no.
Right.
And so at that point, no matter what I did, nothing, I could not focus on the very task that I was being paid to do. So I had to figure out a way to get free. Mm-hmm. And so that's the reason why, you know, I was thankful for you know, having the opportunity to get into real estate, because that truly opened the door to freedom and me becoming the person that I could be as an entrepreneur. And even though I still had those shy tendencies at that time, selling homes for me was easy because it was something that people wanted to do. I didn't have to convince a person to want home ownership. So it was very easy to connect with people, very easy to learn the field and to
and
get
the
out there
was good too, huh?
And to specialize. And the money was definitely good, right? And to specialize in first-time home buyers and things of that nature, somebody that I could relate to as we were first-time home buyers. So once I got to that point, I knew that I had to change in order to completely get free. And once you get yourself to the point of really getting that mindset of knowing that life is not meant to live behind enemy lines. Mm-hmm. Yes, things are going to happen. It's life. So we're going to find ourselves in situations that we end up having to go through. And a lot of times we're not going to understand those situations while we're going through them. But if we just realize that, you know what, there's a reason for everything that we go through in life, and that at the end of the day, we have to figure out what do we need to do personally in order to get ourselves from behind those enemy lines. Because most of the people, 97% of the people, live behind the enemy lines in that box, being mediocre, being average, staying inside that comfort zone. And the only way to get from behind those enemy lines is to take some risks, is to take some calculated risks, is to just step out there to really understand what faith is. Because when you understand what faith is, it means that you're going to move regardless of the situation. And you're going to believe that the very outcome that you want to have mm-hmm. is going to become your reality. And so,
right.
You know, I could go on.
No, I mean, no, and that's real, because you realize, you know, that you had a dream. You knew there was
right.
something else that you wanted to get accomplished.
Absolutely. I didn't know
right.
what it was
right.
because I truly felt like, and when I say that I didn't know what my purpose was, I mean that. I didn't know what my purpose was, but I knew that I knew for a long time that I was not designed and created to build somebody else's dreams for my entire life. I didn't know what God would bring my way. I knew that the industry of direct sales network marketing was definitely one that was promising, just simply because of what it had done for so many people who just made a decision to stay focused on it. But I didn't know really truly what my purpose was. But you had a dream.
Yeah, but you had a dream.
Absolutely.
So
you got a dream.
Because we don't move until we actually have something to move for.
Absolutely.
Right. So your dream, ultimately, if you can sum it up in just two words, what was the motivating factor, motivating point for you that said, you know what, because you didn't sit there and say, I'm just psychologically unemployable.
No.
And I don't know why.
No.
You know, when you looked out at your life and you said, you know what, I no longer want to be on this job because.
I give you three words. Own my day.
Own my day.
I wanted to own my day.
So that encompasses a lot. That encompasses a lot. When you own, I like that, because when you own your day, you can do whatever you want.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's funny because Pam knows that I love, you know, I take a midday nap on you in a heartbeat.
Yes, you will.
You know, especially when I'm, you know, when I'm working out, especially on leg day. On leg day, you can pretty much count that I'm going to clock out for about 30 minutes. At some point in time, I'm going to take a nap because the muscle is so big, it's the largest muscles on your body. So, you know, a lot of blood got pumped, so a lot of energy got exerted. So I'm going to take me a nap. But I said, you know, Pam said, you going to sleep again? I said, hey, you're not free unless you can take you a midday nap. That's when you know you're free. You wake up and you know what? You ain't got dot no time. You know, you didn't have to clock out to do it, and you ain't have to hide for your supervisor, and so you ain't got to go sit in your hot car or turn the car on and get some air so you don't blow up and dehydrate while you're in the car sleeping. You know, but that's freedom, and that's good, Pam. Oh, you wanted to own your day.
Yes.
So owning your day, you know, you realized that, you know, you wanted to do a lot of different things. So you had a dream, and that dream really is what moved you. But we said that the topic of this show was behind enemy lines. So if you're behind enemy lines, there must be an enemy, right?
Right. All day long.
There's got to be an enemy if you're behind enemy lines, and there's a lot of different things
that I identify.
That's it. It could be a lot. It could be a lot of people, because, you know, a lot of us, and let me just paraphrase and jump around on this thing, because a lot of us are building, you know, the dreams of somebody else. You know, you can't get what your dreams are from mama. You can't get it from daddy. You can't get it from sister, brother. Neither one of us can tell anybody what their dream is, right? We can definitely tell you what it feels like to actually be building toward your dream, because, you know, achieving or getting to your dreams, you know, has to be the preset with goals. And you know that there are different waypoints on the way to your dreams, right? Mm-hmm. You're not just going to take one big mother may I giant, take a giant step and get to where you want to be, you know, unless you hit the lottery,
right?
Now, you can hit the lottery still, and your mindset is not right, and you can lose that money. We know that, you know, there's a statistic attached to that. Don't know what it is, but I know there's a high percentage of lottery winners that lose their money in a certain amount of years. We're talking about multiple millions of dollars, because they didn't know how to manage that money. So nobody can tell you what your dream is, all right? But we definitely can tell you how it feels to be liberated enough to pursue your dreams, you know, what it feels like to start placing those building blocks in place to get to those waypoints on the way to your dreams, right? So how do you do it? You have to silence the noise. Mm. Silence the noise. If you're behind enemy lines, you only want the right people to hear you. The ones that can actually help you get to that pickup point, right? But the problem is we start listening to a whole bunch of different people tell us how to get from behind the enemy lines. And they're clearly set on staying there. It's like the dog on the nail, right? Why is the dog just moaning and groaning on the nail? And it's because it doesn't hurt him enough. So he's laying there, and he's just moaning, groaning on the nail. And when it starts to hurt him enough, guess what? He'll get up off the nail. How many of us know that there are a lot of people that are laying on nails right now, moaning and groaning, and they would like nothing better than for you to be laying on a nail with them?
Right.
So what do? They either tell you that you can't do something, or they tell you that you should be comfortable where you are. You should be happy. You should be satisfied. You know, oh, you lucky to have this good job. You lucky to have, you know, you got this. You lucky to have that, you know. And what they're telling you that you're lucky to have doesn't fit what your dreams are telling you that you want or what you can have. So once you find out what your dreams are, once you find out what vehicle you're going to use to get to that dream, then now you can start working your way out from behind enemy lines, right?
Right.
So now that you know that what you want to do, also have an idea of how you want to do it. All right. Some of us have dreams, but we don't have a vehicle. Yeah, you got to have something to drive to get to that dream. You know, the song, you know, this is what I believe, you know, it stood out. And we believe a lot of things, and believing is a principle to achieving. We understand that. But, you know, you believe enough to actually achieve through action. You know, we heard the saying, you know, you want God to bless you, but your feet aren't moving. And that's the same as laying on a nail. You wake up every day and you pray the same prayer. You go do the same thing every day, but you expect a different result. And as far as I've ever been told, Pam, that's the definition of insanity.
It is, all day long.
So people are laying on that nail, and they get comfortable laying on that nail. But the last thing they want you to do is to get off of that nail, because that means you're doing something that they're not doing. All right. And it's that way because in most cases, people aren't really moving toward achieving their dream at all.
Mm.
They're just being controlled by others and living out their dreams instead of their own. So, and if you're in this situation, it's hard to be, you know, you wonder why is it hard? Why do I have this nauseous feeling all the time? You wonder why I can't be happy, cheerful. Why don't I feel whole? Why don't I feel stable and confident?
Hmm.
Because you're not building or moving towards your own dream. All right, you're building somebody else's dream because we haven't had that moment in life, that powwow, that power talk with ourselves that says, you know what? What am I really doing in life? What do I really want to do? And how can I start to work my way toward it? And here comes that word, and be patient enough to get to it. See, because some of us lack that patience that it takes to get where we want to go. You know, we've all heard the book 3 Feet from Goal. We start digging, and we get tired. And where we wanted to go could be as simple as 3 feet away from us. But we get tired and we quit. It's the other word. We get tired and we quit. You're not going to get from behind enemy lines until you stop quitting. And the enemy knows you're a quitter, so they just stop really attending, you know, and you know, trying to hold you back because you're a quitter. But when you stop quitting is when the adversity happens, when they start trying to hold you back. And those same people that used to tell you to follow your dreams, when you actually start following your dreams is when they actually start trying to hold you back.
Absolutely.
From your dreams. Here it is. When you're following your dreams, that means you can no longer help them build theirs.
Mm-hmm.
So
conflict of interest.
It's a conflict of interest, right? So you're following your dreams and you found a vehicle that gets you where you want to be to achieving what you want to achieve. You're laying the foundation for it. You're moving consistently. You're being patient. You're crossing all the T's and dotting all the I's. And there's that person or those people that want you to just stay on their program and build their dream. So what is the thing that you actually want to do? All right. When you decide to move out, all right, when you decide to move out from behind enemy lines, you actually inspire others to do the same. So it first starts in the mind. We know that nothing happens, and you know, before, you know, first it all happens in the mind, right? And then the body takes action. But, you know, your actions are actually more powerful than your words. Y'all, you've heard the saying, don't talk about it, be about it, you know. And it's okay to talk about it to the right people. Everybody doesn't have your best interests at hand, guys.
Right.
Everybody doesn't want to see you successful. They may put on a good front until you actually start being successful, until you actually start moving yourself off of their program onto your program, trying to find out what's my spot in this thing called life. I'm tired of walking around pretending to be somebody that I'm not, pretending to be an alien so that I don't get assimilated back into. I'm tired. I need to get on the program that God has for me and not the program, not helping somebody else build their program. How do we do that? Some of us have, you know, day jobs. Some of us have second jobs, third jobs. And that second and third job could be a vehicle that you're using to achieve getting off the first job and building your dream, you know, getting more time. It can be a lot of different things. You know, you could be on a job right now. You could have a side business, you know, that you're doing. Like Pam and I, we were psychologically unemployable for a long time. And I know that a lot of you out there are psychologically unemployable right now, because when you know better, you do better. All right. If you don't do better physically, action wise, your mind is telling you that this ain't right. So something, there's more out there for you. And until you draw that line in the sand that says, you know what? No more. No more. I have got to get to where I need to be, and this is what I need to do. X, Y, Z, A, B, C. And start following those steps. So Pam, I know that there are some steps that you needed to follow to get where you wanted to get where you needed to be, you know, and the goals and things of that nature that you have to put in place to get where you need to be. Once you make that decision, once you made that decision to actually move, right?
Right.
So, I mean, people need to understand how goals work. You know, how you set those goals to get what you want to get to, right?
Right. Absolutely. For me, first and foremost, I had to put the big picture in front of me. When I say I own my day, those were the three words that meant everything to me and still mean everything to me. I had to keep the big picture in front of me. I had to first visualize myself owning my own day and having that time freedom. And as I began to visualize those things and put those images and again begin to speak those things that were not as though they were, because mm-hmm. I think that's the biggest thing is that we don't begin to really see ourselves living in that moment. And I truly began to raise my beliefs. And right. as I began to raise my beliefs and visualize these things, I knew that one day, even though regardless of what it may have looked like at that present situation, that present time, that one day we would get there. One day I would own my day. And as a result of knowing that and realizing that and keeping those things in front of me, I realized that I had to work on me. And when I began to realize that I had to work on me, that's when things began to change in my life, because I could want it all day long. A lot of times in life, we want things, we desire things, but we're not willing to do what's necessary in order to
take
get it done.
Action.
Right. You got to take that action. And so when I realized that in order to own my day, it was going to require something of me. Require something of me. And so that meant that it was going to require some things that I was not used to doing. It was going to require me having to get outside of that mediocre mindset and that comfort zone. I knew that I was going to have to stretch myself. And a lot of times we don't want to stretch ourselves, and we don't want to do the things that are required of us because it's painful. You know, and nobody likes to be in pain, right? You know, even when it comes time to working out and what we're doing, we want the bodies and things of that nature. But we don't want the pain that's going to be involved in order to get the very things, in order to get the goals, in order to have, in order for me to own my day. It's going to be painful to get to that point. So, but once I began to realize that, I had to work on me. And so that's when I began to work on me, to change my mindset, to pick up books and to read books, something that I never liked to do, and to really set goals, written goals, writing things down, and putting things in front of me every single day to begin to say things like, I can, I can, I can, instead of thinking about the negative aspects. And as I began to shift my energy to the things that I wanted, then I began to realize the things that would be required of me in order to achieve those things. So,
right.
you know, I think that's the biggest thing. You got to see the picture. You got to see yourself already there. And once you begin to see yourself already there and you really get passionate about it, that's why your why is everything. Your why will be the very thing that will keep you going regardless of what things may look like today. When you stay focused on your vision, you stay focused on the dreams and on the goals that God has placed on the inside of you, the vehicle will come your way. The vehicle, everything will line up and you'll end up getting in alignment with the assignment that God has given you. But you got to stay focused on where you're going and not where you're at. And then those actions will line up. And so I knew I had to change. And once I realized I had to change, all things became possible. And I had to do the very things that I didn't like to do were the very things that I had to do. A lot of times people say, you know, what did you do? I'm shy like you. That's the first problem. Stop speaking it. That's the first problem. But then the only way to eliminate the shyness, to eliminate the fear, is to do the very things that you fear.
Mm-hmm.
And when you begin to do the very things that you fear, you'll look up
And you'll say, oh, that wasn't that bad at all, because now you're practicing the principles in order to participate in the promise. You punch it in the face and you look up and it's no longer something mm-hmm. that you're unable to do.
Right, right. And it's amazing, though, you know, everything that you just said is so true, because, you know, people actually do know that they need to do something, but it's because of that comfort zone.
Right.
You know, it feels good where they are right now, even though they're struggling, they're living from paycheck to paycheck, you know, they're having to tell the kids no all the time and things just aren't what they should be. It's just the comfort zone. A lot of people say, well, that's not real comfortable. It's comfortable because there's no change required. You can keep doing what it is that you're doing. And last I checked, as long as you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to have what you have. What we do is we typically say we want more, but we're not willing to do more.
Right.
So we stay in that cycle, and we stay to that point to where we want, but we're not willing to do and keep doing and do again, you know, in order to get out, because it's painful to change. Take working out. You know, we work out 3 to 4 times a week, and when we work out, you know, your muscles are changing. So you're in pain. I told Pam, you know, this morning, the back of my legs are hurting. Why? Because they're changing. Muscles are growing. And it's a necessary pain, you know, that you have in order to grow. Change doesn't come without some pain. And the quicker we realize that, the better off we are. But what happens is so many of us get caught behind those enemy lines and we don't know how to get out. And we've never been out. And then you've got people in your life, and here's the part that really gets me. Some of you, or you know, some have people in their lives that are trying to help them get out from behind the enemy lines, and they take them for granted.
Mm.
They're accustomed to hearing what the person's saying all the time, so they get comfortable, and they no longer want to listen, even though, you know, that person is telling you, hey, look, this way, over here, this is what you need to do to get out from where you are. And we stop trusting the people that are trying to help us because we no longer know how to differentiate, because there's so many people trying to kill us.
Right. Oh, that's the danger in familiarity.
That's the danger in familiarity.
Mm-hmm.
But then you go and find somebody, a hostage that's been there for a long time, and all of a sudden, they say, you know what? I haven't heard what you're saying in a long time. It's refreshing. I'm going to follow you.
Mm.
And those people start to follow you out, and you're taking those people out. But the people, there are some people that you try to help that no longer wants or needs your help, they say.
Right.
So you end up leaving people behind simply because they weren't ready to change. They were no longer willing to change. They were no longer willing to go through what it takes to get to the to outside of the enemy lines. So they just stay there. And guess what? They become, Pam. They become the enemy.
Ooh.
Mm. Ooh. You become the enemy. Once you get assimilated, you gave up. You gave up. You stopped trying. You kept quitting. And now all of a sudden, because you stopped trying, because you kept quitting, because you kept saying that I'm going to do this and I'm not going to do that, you kept placing no importance on what you needed to do to get you and your family out. Now, all of a sudden, not a verbal confirmation of you're the enemy, but an actual confirmation that you're the enemy, simply because you're no longer acting in a productive manner.
Wow.
You're no longer moving forward. So if you're not moving forward, you must be staying still. And if you're staying still, you must be comfortable. And if you're comfortable, you all of a sudden become the enemy.
Wow.
And you don't even know it. And your actions are causing other people to stumble and fall, tripping over the fact that you won't move and they're watching you. They're following you. And you're not moving.
Wow.
You're not trying to create anything. You're not trying to do anything different than what you're doing. You're not punching fear in the face. You are not trying to move outside of enemy lines. As a matter of fact, you have given up. You've become the enemy. And then the first thing that you say is, well, you left me. No, you stopped running. I didn't leave you.
Right.
You stopped running. So, you know, we stand behind enemy lines, Pam, and we just get comfortable. And we allow the world to suck us dry. And we get to be elderly. And we start thinking about what we could have did.
Right.
Should have did. Yeah, what we would have did if. But you've had the opportunity in front of you the whole time. You've had the people in front of you the whole time that are trying to help you. But you squandered that opportunity. And now you wake up and you start to cycle all over again. And you start to say, oh, hey, what, Lord, give me something. Show me a sign.
Why am I still behind enemy lines?
Why am I still here? Show me a sign. That's because you haven't had that power talk with yourself. And some of us just need to punch ourselves in the face. Punch yourself in the face because you're the only person standing in front of you and your destiny. But you're blaming everybody else.
We do. We have to get out of our own way. That's mm-hmm. what I had to do. I was in my own way for a very long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Get out of our own way. That's what I had to do.
It's, you know, it's amazing, guys. And, you know, we're coming to the end of the show, you know, and let me tell you guys something. When you're on the road to success, when you're on the road and you're creating, you're building something, it's not going to be a pretty sight. It's not pretty. You're going to do stuff and people aren't going to support you. You're going to do stuff and people are going to act like they don't see you. All to keep you behind enemy lines, to keep you somewhere that they don't have the propensity or the ability to get to because of envy, because of jealousy. And that's fuel in your tank because nothing in life is free, guys, and that road to success is going to cost you something. And you got to be willing to pay the price. If you're not willing to pay the price, then guess what? You're behind enemy lines, and you will become the enemy. So, guys, you know, we're at the end of the show. Thank you guys so much for chiming in. Pam, say goodbye to everybody.
Goodbye, everybody on the ground.
Thinking about money. You guys go out and make the day a super productive day, you know, and like I said, you guys could have been anywhere, but we thank you guys for supporting us. We thank you guys for chiming into the grind and listening. Hopefully we bridge some gaps this morning for somebody somewhere. Catch the replay of this show. You can catch it on the grind, blogtalkradio.com/thegrind101. Forward it out to people and allow them to hear what you heard in order for them to start moving out from behind the enemy lines, ladies and gentlemen. All right, guys, if you want to get in contact with me, my name on Instagram, Nathan McCray One, my beautiful wife, Pam McCray One. Follow us on Instagram, guys, and you can see and hopefully be inspired by anything that we do, guys. It's a blessing and it's an honor for us to be in the presence of you guys today. So thank you, guys, and we'll see you guys live on the show on Tuesday morning. Guys, have a great weekend.
Yes.
The Lord see you through. You're captured. just you just stand.